Good morning. Praise God, everybody. How are you doing this morning? Awesome. It is good to be here. Today is Father's Day, so we are celebrating and honoring our fathers today. If you're a father, we're excited to have you here. Happy Father's Day from the church here at Calvary Gospel Church. And if you're a guest and this is your first time here, we want to welcome you. We're glad you're here today worshiping with us, connecting with Jesus with us, and maybe even honoring our fathers today, or if you are a father, being honored. So thank you for being here. If this is your first time and you're worshiping in person, you can head to the Welcome Center in the back where we'll just ask a few points of information, and then we have a small gift for you. Above and beyond the Father's Day gift, we have a Father's Day gift today too. Or if you go online to this Bitly link, once again, we have a few questions for you, get to know you a little bit better. We'd love to get to know you and let you get to know a little bit more about us. Yeah, this morning, if you could feel compelled to give, you can give in one of our offering boxes posted at each of the entrances to the sanctuary. Those are kind of on the wall. You can mail it in. You can give right through our Church Center app. We have an app. Great piece of information to learn about all the things that are going on. And you can also give online if you'd like. Now, a note here, after Father's Day service, so the order for the day is we're going to have some worship. We all just want to worship God today together, connect with God, hear from Him, right? Because that's why we're here. But then afterwards, we're going to have a little bit of a, we're going to honor our fathers. We're going to do a drawing. We have some really cool, well, I'm not going to ruin it for you. We have a drawing for fathers. There's going to be 10 people that walk away with something special. And then we're going to have a little discussion this morning. You can see behind the choir, the singers here, that it's a little bit different layout. We're going to have a discussion. And then after that, when we're all done and we have a chance to pray and talk to God, in the back, there's going to be tables full of donuts. Donuts for fathers. I made that clear. Yes, for fathers. And so what we would ask is each father can get a box with 5 donuts. You can pick out 5 donuts or just send your kids. Your kids will pick out the 5 donuts, right? Whether it's 1 or 4 or 6 kids, doesn't matter. Go get 5 donuts total per dad. And that's something you could take with your kids. It's a little white box. You can color on it. You can put stickers on it. A little present for dad. And this time, you know, I charged my kids the dad tax. Maybe you guys could charge a kid tax this morning. You know, maybe you get a bite out of the one you choose. Yeah, maybe. So with that said, we have a special announcement this morning. Father's Day is also a time when we promote our men's ministry, both here in the church and in the state, in our organization. And so Pastor Jerry is going to come up and give an announcement and show a video.
Awesome. Hey, I'm Jerry Simmons, if you don't know me. If we have any guest fathers here, we just welcome you here. I'm a pastor here on staff at Calvary Gospel Church, but I'm also the men's director of the state of Wisconsin. And we have men's ministries all across the state in every single church, and we have events. We have 12 events in our each 2 events per section in 5 sections, and we also have a men's camp every year, and we also have an Engage Equipping conference as well. All of these funds that we're asking to give to support us, our events on a local setting, we also, every single year, over the last couple years, we've had the ability to give away some of that money to our local churches who are in need. And last year, we gave away $20,000 in grants to churches that had special needs. And so that's what some of this stuff goes for. But outside of Wisconsin, in like the hurricane areas and places where tornadoes have happened, we have this thing called Reach Out America, and we support that through men's ministry, where we give some of these funds that we're collecting for Father's Day offering to local areas who have been struck with disaster, tornadoes, hurricanes, and things like that. And so we get boots on the ground. We get men to show up to help put churches back together, to help put houses back together. And so that's some of the things we do with some of the men's ministry funds. But then there's also things called Church in a Day. Anybody heard of Church in a Day? Church in a Day is an organization inside the UPCI who they go to a location, and in 1 or 2 days, they build an entire church from start to finish. They just start with a concrete slab, and they put an entire church up all in that same day. And so some of these funds, they go to fund those Church in a Day projects, as well as overseas. Overseas, we do a lot of different activities, such as building orphanages, Bible schools. We build houses for foreign missionary pastors. We also build churches in foreign fields. And so these funds go to do all of these types of things and support our local men's ministries here in Wisconsin. And so today, we just do a one-time offering. And so we just take our offering one time on one day of the year for men's ministry. A lot of the other funds that we raise for children's ministry or youth ministry, ladies ministry, they have a season that we raise those funds in. Men's ministry only has one day, so in this 1 hour, we're asking every single church in the entire state of Wisconsin and also all over the United States to have this offering to raise these funds. And so we're just asking you, if you'd like to give to that, you can leave an offering in the box or you can get on the app and give online, and we can receive that offering anytime over the next couple weeks, but we just ask you to help us participate with that. If you believe in men's ministry and you believe in the men of our church, we ask you to just please help us out with that. Amen. You may stand. You're already seated. I just want to go to the Lord in prayer with you guys today. Sister Kayla Powell has been in the hospital with some kind of heart condition, and Brother Tim mentioned in a text message this morning that they might be doing a stent or something going on. I don't know. She's had so many tests. I don't know which test is what is describing exactly what's going on with her. So we just want to pray for Sister Kayla Powell. But also we want to remember Zippy, who's still in the hospital. And anyone else who has other things happening, we have a number of people with heart conditions that they're dealing with, and there are a number of people dealing with cancer situations. And so we just want to go to the Lord in prayer right now, believing that God can do anything in this service, and He can touch all of these needs and all these people who we've mentioned their names and some we haven't. But if you have a need here today, would you just slip your hand up, just believing that God can do anything right now? I believe He can. I believe He can touch you right now. We've been talking about faith. Sometimes faith is just being obedient to letting God do what He wants to do, just showing up and presenting the need to God and just asking Him to help. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer right now and ask for Him to help in Jesus' name. Lord God, we ask You, Jesus, that You'll touch all of these needs. These hands have slipped up in the air, Lord God. They have questions. Maybe they have concerns. Maybe they have diagnosis, Lord. They have problems going on in their life, God. We ask You, Lord Jesus, that You would move with Your Spirit into these situations and put healing in the place of disease with God. We ask You, Lord Jesus, to perform miracles, Lord God, where there seems to be no way, God. You can make a way, Lord God. I ask You, Lord Jesus, that You will touch every single situation that we have named and we haven't been able to name, Lord, today, because the list is long, God. We ask You, Lord, just to touch every single need, every single cancer, every single heart disease, every single problem, oh God, that people are struggling with, God. And we ask You just to move on them, God. And help them, Lord Jesus. In Your name we pray. In Jesus' name. Would you just worship with us for the next few moments? Amen.
Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be here this morning? I was praying this morning and I wasn't feeling anything this morning. I'm like, what's going on, God? And as Phil was preaching this morning, God's like, you forgot to pray for one thing this morning. One thing. Boldness. Because He says, where I want you to go, that's what's going to be needed. That's what's needed. And I don't want any of you to take this the wrong way. I don't care. I don't care at all what a single thing, if you're going through this morning, I don't care what it is. I want you to just praise God. the body is so complex, I couldn't even name five things that can go wrong in your body, but I do know that if we praise God, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in your family, let's just praise Him. Let's just lift Him up, right? So just praise with us this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus, God. I'll praise when I'm sure, and praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm numbered, and praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is in the water, mine enemies drowning. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason. It's more than a sound. My praise is a shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Sovereign, praise 'cause you reign, praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave, praise 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true, praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you.
Praise 'cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you reign, praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave, praise 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. Praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. Praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're
Jesus, we praise you, God. We lift you high. We worship you, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. Just lift it high, Lord. We praise you. God, you are worthy, God, in every circumstance, in every situation, God. You remain throne, Jesus. We glorify you, God.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's just worship him. Let's worship our Father today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for being in our lives, for caring about us. God, for being in this place. God, for speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You could be seated this morning. If you're a father and you're here today or you're watching online, we just want to say happy Father's Day to you. I know being a father myself that it's rewarding and it's fun being a father, but at times it's stressful. At times it's difficult. At times I feel like I'm never measuring up and I'm not good enough and I'm just a big giant failure. And I think that message is too easy to hear, both as a man, because I'm always trying to think and improve. I'm sure you're the same. But it's also easy to hear because it's a message we hear a lot, right? And so today I want to encourage you, fathers. We're going to have a great discussion today. We're going to have some fun. But in everything you do today, wherever you're at, whether you're the world's greatest dad or whether you were a dad a minute ago or whether, you know, you've had some struggles along the way and you see the struggles and you want to improve, your heavenly Father is looking down on you with love. And he's just looking for this. Is he pursuing me? Dads, that's what God's looking for. He's like, is he pursuing me? It doesn't matter where he's at in that pursuit, but are we facing God? So fathers, I just want you to know that we love you. We honor you. God loves you. God honors you. And so happy Father's Day from our church and from the leadership here. So that was what we want to say to start going. But we're excited to have you. You're excited for the day. And to start off, we're going to have a little bit of a drawing. If you could bring down the names. And you know what, Brother Jerry, could you come up here? I'm going to need your help. Yeah, this is awesome. And then I also have another assistant, if she could work her way up here too. Okay, let me see here. Okay, thank you, Jerry. What do we got here? Yes, okay. This is good. Thank you. So what we have here, oh my goodness. This, I'm going to wipe this off a little bit. This is a bone-in tomahawk ribeye. You can see how big it is. I have kind of a big head, right? This is a big piece of meat, okay? And we have 12 of these. Man, have you guys ever grilled one of these? Anybody ever done this? This is from Leroy's Meats in Horicon, right? They've helped us out with this. Great meat store. They do a lot of great stuff. But we have a bunch of these. We're going to give some of these away today to fathers once again, right? And so, but first, what we want to do, thank you, Pastor Jerry. I'm going to leave my gloves here. Make sure to keep the salmonella out. Yeah. What we want to do is this. We'll have fathers. We're going to draw 10 names for fathers. We have the basket right here. But before we do, we want to honor two men that are the fathers of this church. And we want to honor Bishop and Senior Pastor Roy Grant, our senior pastor, who are our church fathers. Thank you for all you do for our church and for this family and have done. Thank you. And they are both getting a stake. You don't have to get your name drawn, right? Yep, it's all good. So we're going to draw 10 names of fathers. And when I say your name, you can just stand up and we'll applaud. But your stake is actually going to be in the fridge over in the back. So you can just go over there and get one. Okay, if your name wasn't drawn and you steal somebody else's stake, shame on you. Okay, that would be really, really bad. Okay, so, okay, here we go. You're going to draw the first one. This is Sophie. She's my oldest daughter. She just turned 12. Yes. Yes. Look at all the young people. You got all the girls. They're really, really excited. All the young people are excited. Okay. And the first name is Brother Phil Stackhouse. Oh, Brother Phil, stand up for us. He's right there. You can stay there. Yes. There you go. Just wave. Okay. So that's one. Give me another one. Then when we go to the next one, you can draw the next one. I got it. I don't know who this is. Satish? Satish? Hey, he won one. Awesome. Okay. The next name. Oh, my goodness. This is number three. Brother Jay Henry. Y'all are eating well today. Get another one right away. Okay. Oh, man. I think I'm just inviting myself over to this person's house. Brother Ryan Hittestorf. Yes. Yes. There was nothing in the small print, fathers, that say you have to share this, okay? You could get, like, chicken nuggets for the kids and grill this for you. That's up to you, you know. Our fourth father who's one on one is Andrew Peterson. There we go. Praise God. Awesome. That's fifth, actually. Sixth one is Nathan Neeson. Oh, yeah. Yes. See, if I was on top of this, I'd rig this and invite all these people over for lunch after church, and then magically their names would get drawn. I just said it out loud. No, I can't do it. It's going to look bad. Brother Ward Meyer in the back. Okay. No, put this one back. No, Glenn Rossing. Okay, we're going to have two more. There were, how many names did we say? 58 names. This one's, this one's right here. Sam Rivest. Yes, yes, you are winning. That counts too. Thank you. Nope. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We got one more. Draw one more. This is the last name. You guys are all going to walk home with some big, giant, awesome steaks. Okay, don't look while you're doing it. They're going to think you're drawing it. Yeah, if you accidentally might draw my name, that would look bad. Okay. Let's see how this works here. Ed Simmons. Ed Simmons. Where you at, Ed? Oh, hey. Happy Father's Day. Awesome. We're going to put these back in there. That was awesome. Thank you so much for your help, Sophie. And thank you, everybody, for the drawing. Brother Pastor Jerry for getting the meats. And I encourage you, go check out Leroy Meats. It's not a commercial, but they have really good meats and steaks. So we want to transition. We're going to do something a little bit different today. You know, for Mother's Day, we had a nice, you know, comfortable couch. And we brought a couple moms up and wanted to have a conversation with them. And we want to do something similar like that today with some men. And so I want to bring some men up. I'm going to introduce them. We'll give them a hand. They'll have a seat. You know, hey, men, when you come up here, go ahead. There's some coffee up here. If you got a coffee cup you want to bring up, bring it up. There's coffee. There's some waters, cream and sugar. But go ahead and start getting yourself some if you're the first one up. So first I want to bring up to have a discussion with me today, Brother Kirby Waters. Brother Kirby, you're coming up first. There we go. Brother, here we go, man. Defend the space, my man. Pick any seat you want. Okay, next we have Brother Phil Stackhouse. Woo! Come on up. He's got his coffee mug. Brother Phil, good to see you, man. And then the last person we're bringing up today is Brother Scott Graper. Come on up, Brother Scott. Good to see you, bud. That one's the last one. You guys can have a seat. So I have my notes on here. It'll make it easier for us. So as before, I've kind of prepped some of these men with some questions. We're just working on some mics here. I prepped them with some questions. We want to have some real conversations here, and I want to understand a little bit about them and their viewpoints, and we're going to talk about God a little bit. But so I want to start out, first off, happy Father's Day to all of you. I know I said it to everybody else, but happy Father's Day to all of you. And I want to sincerely say thank you for being a part of this today. I know this probably isn't easy. All of them said yes, whether they were like doubting it or questioning it, they said yes right away. And just to, before I lose it, I want to give you guys, this is Brother Scott, I want to give you a little for Brother Scott, for Brother Phil, for Brother Kirby, just a little gift for saying, to say thank you for being a part of it. We appreciate it. So we want to start with some softballs here. We're going to try to be done a little around noon, but start with some softballs. So some quick answers up front. Introduce yourself, tell me how many children you have, boys, girls, how long you've been married. What do you do for a living? And maybe something we might not know about you. So for now, I'll kind of direct us. We'll work our way this way, and then we'll kind of do around the room, see what happens. Go ahead.
I'm Philip Stackhouse. I have two kids, Joshua and Julia. Josh is 4, Julia's 1. We've been married for a little over 5 years. I'm a supervisor over at PBD. Been working over there for 2 years. It's a pharmaceutical development company. Mm-hmm. So, the last thing is what's something people don't know. I learned Chinese as a Chinese language analyst in the Air Force, and I worked in that for 6 years. And I completely forgot Chinese after I got out.
So you learned it and forgot it. Those are two things we didn't know.
Yeah, okay, I've been out since 2013, so I completely forgot it at this point.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you. Kirby.
Oh, my name is Kirby Waters.
Oh, is that white mic on? We got one?
Thank you. My name is Kirby Waters. I have two children, Rowan and Gage. Rowan is 5 and Gage is 2. Something that you may not know is that I started very late in life in as far as having kids. As you can see, I'm 50 years old, and I have toddlers.
Yeah. We were either going to guess that you started late or you grade early. Right? Yeah. It's one of the two. I've seen both. Awesome. Thank you for sharing. Scott, your mic should work, man.
Scott Graper. Is it working?
Yeah. Okay. We're figured it out.
Scott Graper, I have 4 daughters. Thea.
You win. You're good.
Thea's 7. Claire is 5. Gracie's 4. And then we have, Gracie's 2. And then we have Alora, who is 5 months old.
Oh, wow.
And then in about 3 days, me and my wife will be married for 9 years.
Thank you.
Woo! And I guess what I do for work is I'm a steam fitter day school instructor, so I teach apprentices how to weld and how to be steam fitters. And then something you may not know about me, I guess I like to build things out of metal sometimes. So.
Awesome. So there's this, I work in construction, right? And there was a guy at my work, they were having a meeting with the client, right? And it was like a planning meeting. And this guy, I don't know why he did it, but he asked a question to the owner. He's like, what's the client? What keeps you up at night? Right? He wasn't meaning in a way, hey, you can't sleep. He was meaning it in this way that, like, what are the things in the back of your head that rattle around that you're always thinking about, specifically for this project? And it spurred this, like, huge conversation. And what it learned from a contractor, I work for a contracting company, is we started, we can ask different questions and figure out what people are thinking and what's motivating them, what might be worrying. Maybe it's not worry or anxiety or anything like that, but it's like just something that's rattling around back there so that we can help take care of that, right? Now, I might not be able to help take care of any of this. But I've always thought about that. I like to ask people that question. What keeps you up at night? Maybe nothing, like Pastor Phil said this morning. Maybe you don't have any trouble sleeping. I know I don't. But there's a million things rattling up back there. So I'm curious, what are some things you're constantly thinking about, whether it's maybe something you're worrying about or trying to improve or just rattling around? So whoever wants to go first.
I'll go first. I guess with 4 little kids, I have no problem sleeping once they go to bed. Lights out as soon as they're out. But something that I'm always thinking about is almost daily I think about how I can improve as a father, as a husband, and how I can improve my relationship with God. And it's just something that I guess life and time is fleeting, right? And I only get one shot at this thing, so I just want to make sure that I'm the man that God's called me to be for my family.
Would you say that you had those same thoughts, like, am I improving and all that, way before you had kids or before you got married, or did you not think about it as much?
No, it hit me when I started having kids. It's not about me anymore, so it's a lot different.
Interesting.
I would have to agree with Scott. For me, it's, greasy food, for one, but I just the safety and the, keeping my family under a roof that's protected not only by God, but a father who is definitely willing to do what he has to do to keep his family safe.
Yeah. Is this working? No, that one doesn't work.
All right, cool. We'll pass it back.
I definitely don't have a problem sleeping. I think my wife would yell at me for that because she's trying to talk and I fall asleep. Sorry about that, honey. But there's definitely, like, worries in regards to, like, the kids and trying to figure out, like, how to overcome some of the challenges that we're facing. Like, Josh is definitely getting more physical, so tackling kids and other things. And It kind of like came on like a year ago, so like trying to figure out how to like fix some of that stuff, and or trying to wonder if like is that normal? Because I don't know, I have no other kids other than those two, and trying to figure it all out. So
It's interesting because my wife and I talk at times, and I have no problems figuring out what's keeping her up at night, right? That those just naturally just come out of her mouth, and she talks to me about them, and I think that's something that. That's very natural, but as men, we're always thinking about it, but we don't talk about it a lot, and that's something I'm always curious why I ask that question. What's something that you've learned maybe from your father, either actively or passively, good or bad? Maybe you look at it and you say, I saw him do this. He never really taught this to me, but I watched him, and it's something I learned, or maybe it's something he actively told you that you don't forget, or maybe it's something you're like, and maybe you can word it how you want so it doesn't come across bad or good, but maybe it's something you're like, hey, that's something I'm not going to do, or something I am going to do, or whatever. So what's something you may have learned from your father? Who wants to go first?
Well, I was never really close to my dad. I mean, growing up, he was grew up on a farm, tough as nails kind of guy. Had a mom that was obviously kind of one of those sensitive but nurturing and caregiving kind of parents. And I never really thought as I grow up that my dad was much of a teacher. Mm-hmm. But the older I've gotten and now becoming a dad, I have really learned that he taught me a whole lot more than I really anticipated. He, obviously, a hard worker, and I have a strong work ethic to be able to support and provide for my family. And, I mean, although my dad did teach me how to golf.
Golf.
Which I don't really play anymore, but I just realize this, it wasn't all that long ago either, that he was a provider. He was somebody who kept us safe. He was somebody who just an overall protector. And after I became a dad, it's like I didn't really pay attention to that until I had kids. And I was thinking about it. Like I said, it wasn't all that long ago. It's like, wow, he actually did a whole lot more for me than I really thought he did.
Yeah.
And now, trying to be a godly father, although my dad was not in the church, my mom is, and I had a worldly view and I had a godly view from my mom and the worldly view from my dad. And the worldly view more or less is tough as nails. And the spiritual side, which came from my mom, is more doing the best you can to be a sensitive person and kind of looking out for what my family needs. So, but although, like I said, my dad was not a spiritual man, I did learn a whole lot more from him than I really thought about until, like I said, just within the past couple of years.
More just from watching and seeing how he lived his life. Is that interesting, though, that now you're a father, do you ever think about what are the things I need to tell my kids or whatever? But then you look at your day, you're like, well, I learned a lot just from watching. Like, so they're watching me, like, oh, man.
Yeah, so now I have to be super careful what I do and say.
Yeah, it's that more of that pressure in the back of your mind, right? Like it's the things that rattle around, like, oh, wow, they're watching everything, and they're picking up on things, right? Yep. Yeah. Who else?
I think this is working now, right? I don't know. My childhood was kind of tough. My dad wasn't really around much, so I kind of got raised by my stepdad. And that kind of ended one random day, and 6th, 7th grade, when my stepdad just kind of took off. So one of the things that I kind of realized was, like, as I'm learning now, there's a lot of, like, impact for the lack of, like, presence of both my dad and my stepdad at the time, that I really don't want to, like, pass on to my kids. Like, I want to be there for them. Like, my dad was, like, physically there, but, like, never, like, emotionally invested. So, like, he'd get home off of work and go and sit and drink and watch TV, and it's like, I'm not really learning anything other than how to be lazy, so kind of tough, and I don't want to kind of pass that on to my kids.
But, I mean, you are learning something. What you're saying is really interesting. You know, I tell people that work with me all the time, like, you're going to learn some things from me. Some things you'll be like, Peter does that great, I'm going to do that. And others you'll be like, Peter's an idiot, I'm definitely not doing that, right? And so there is some of that. So it's really cool. I think it's encouraging. What you're saying is you're, and this is probably the hardest thing we have to do as parents, is like the generations before me may not have modeled. Not everybody has had generations and hierarchies before them that have just set everything up for this giant success to where you were endowed with a house and $1 million, right? Right. But it's like, I want to make a difference from this generation going forward. And so I applaud that, man. That's really great. And that's exactly what God's here for, right? To be like, yeah, it doesn't matter what your past was. You can change the course of your legacy, your family, by making your choices, right? So that's really good. Thank you for sharing that. What's Scott?
My dad, he owns his own remodeling company. So he always working with his hands. And I guess one thing, I never learned this through him actively, but definitely passively, is whenever he did something, he did it with everything he had. He put everything he had into it, and it normally turned out pretty awesome, right? Mm-hmm. And growing up, my adult life, I applied that, I guess, naturally through osmosis from him and didn't really realize it. And I think it's kind of made me who I am today, and I'm very thankful for that. And I guess thinking on those things, I think what we learn passively from our parents can sometimes be a lot more impactful than what they try to impart into us actively, right? So it's something that I have to constantly look at myself at and think, in this moment, what am I teaching my kids, right? Mm-hmm. Like, good and bad, because it's very easy to pass something on that could be negatively impacting on their lives, and it's hard to think about that in the moment.
Is it? Would you think it's, going back to kind of what Kirby was talking about too, would you think it's more stressful or less stressful? More stressful in that, oh wow, they're watching everything. Or less stressful in that, hey, I don't need to come up with this sermon. I don't need to have this perfect set of plans. I don't need to. It's like, hey, I just need to be right with God and live light, try to take the right path, and they're going to be watching. What would you say? Is it more or less or both? Or?
I mean, it all depends on how you're living your life, right? Yeah. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, it's real easy at that point. But if you're not, it can be really impactful. So
it's good. Our theme for Mother's Day was no greater joy. And we talked about, you know, our joy, and that our joy comes from God, right? And today, for Father's Day, our theme is no greater strength, right? And I want to get into that a little bit more. But without getting all scriptural and biblical and theological and all that fancy stuff, if I say, what does it mean to you to be strong? What does it mean when I say strong, or that person is strong, or I'm trying to be strong? Like, in your own words, what does it mean to you to be strong? Could be any answer.
Being grounded, okay. having a really good foundation as far as not only spiritual, but having a good support system, like all of you, having some people that you can rely on to talk to who are, I guess, maybe having same situations that you are, but also to be able to not be afraid to be transparent. So
the first answer is physical strength, like the Hulk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it just seems strong to me. But there's
side
also
question: can the Hulk beat up Thor? Like, which one would?
No.
It proved that Thor would win.
They've proven that? Okay, I have to consult my expert. Spence,
do you agree?
Thor would win that? Okay, good. Okay, I was just checking. Sorry, I trust you. I have a personal Marvel expert.
Kirby also agreed.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, continue. Physical strength.
But yeah, like physical strength, like being able to like overcome those types of obstacles that you're kind of running into. But I guess there's also like the overcoming just anything, not necessarily physically, but also mentally, emotionally, all of that.
What do you think, Scott? Being strong or be strong, what do you hear? Think of it.
If I could sum up in one word, I would sum it up in discipline, right? I think a man that has discipline is a strong man, unwavering, right? And I think being strong is more of a mentality than anything. It's not a physical thing, but it's having the mentality to always make the right choice no matter what, even if it's a hard choice. So
We probably all listen to podcasts and read books and stuff. And if we were to ask like a bodybuilder, or a CrossFit, or a Navy SEAL, or you know some of these people that are really good and powerful, and that they're on podcasts and writing books, what do you think their answer would be? If I said be strong, would it be similar? I surprised you with that one. That one's not on the list.
Yeah, we don't have a
Go ahead, Kirby.
I wouldn't. I mean, like Scott said, all these people that are doing that kind of, I guess, pushing that much weight, they have to have the discipline to keep continually doing it, because eventually they're going to get soft and fluffy if they, you know, if they don't continue to keep doing it. And I know the feeling because I'm getting there.
You get it. Yeah, it's good kids. It's interesting because, like, spending time in the Army, and I got to interact with a lot of some Special Forces people, and most of them are not the biggest, strongest, ripped people in the world, but they can go through anything because, like you said, there's some strength up here. And they would define it, I think, very differently. They would say, I'm not the strongest person, but I'm going to grit it out more than anybody else. I'm going to be the most disciplined. I'm going to practice this shot or this whatever a million times until I can do it blindfolded without thinking, right? It becomes a lifestyle of, like, I need to have a mindset that's strength, right? So I think about Joshua, right? We read the story of Joshua in the Bible, and this is a little bit of a nuanced question, so I'd really like to get your feedback on this. But Joshua in the Bible, he's told to be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. I think it's three or four times in like a four-verse section, right? And this is coming from God. God's saying, be strong and courageous. That seems pretty clear. Just be strong, right? But then everywhere else you read, right? Everywhere else you read in the Bible, it says, God is the strength of my heart. It says, be strengthened by the Lord. It says, be strong in the grace of God. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Be strong. Put on the whole armor of God. It says, God is your strength, so put on the whole armor of God, right? And so how do we reconcile those two thoughts? This idea that God is telling Joshua, and I think as we read the Bible for ourselves, God said, Peter, be strong and courageous. But everywhere else it says, I will strengthen you, and your strength comes from God. How do you reconcile those?
I think that God makes us strong, right? But it's up to us to act on that strength and make the decision. Hmm. So you have to apply it.
It's good.
I think it's also not having not having fear. If you can face that fear, obviously the Bible says, you know, God created us to have none, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Have no fear, because he is with us. And I think with that can also come strength and courage.
Yeah. Bill?
I think all of it comes down to, like, persisting through, like, trials and everything else. With Joshua, I mean, Joshua 1:9 is when I think God first tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. But then 6 chapters later in Joshua, he goes against Ai or IE or whatever it is, and that didn't necessarily work out that well, despite the fact that he was being strong and courageous. Mm-hmm. But they tried doing it themselves, and it didn't necessarily work out. And it wasn't until he actually, like, leaned on what God was really, really trying to get him to do that it ultimately worked out for him.
Lean down what God was trying to, you mean like doing it the way God wanted him
doing
to do it?
Doing what God wanted rather than trying to do it himself.
Hmm. It is interesting that he would say, be strong. Essentially, if I just said, be strong, Scott, you're right. But God's your strength. Like, this is like, well, how am I supposed to be strong? But it's almost very much like that. Like, you're all kind of putting together is this idea that God is saying, you can be strong. I'm telling you to be strong. You can be strong, and you can act like you're strong if you're following me, if I'm in your corner, right? And God is in our corner, right? God's like, I'm with you. So that's really awesome. I'm always challenged by those verses to act strong when I don't feel strong, right? And have you ever had to maybe that whole mindset thing we're talking about, have you ever had to act, like, say, I've got to act like I'm strong when I don't feel strong? Is there situations we've had to do that? Not on the list again.
I mean, I had one when it was probably about two years ago. Never thought I'd be the one who is a crier per se, but I had we found out for my daughter, she had ended up having RSV, which in a person it's basically it's basically a common cold, but for a child it can be not good. And I never saw myself as being one who is, I guess, overly sensitive, but after I've had kids, it's one of those things where you see your child laying on a gurney or a bed like that, and they're crying and they're struggling. And those moments where you don't know what to do and you break down because it's something that you can't take care of. It's out of your hands. And I just, that it's like I said, that was one of the times that it was just scary to me and I didn't know what to do.
Was it scary because it was like, this is the weakest I could be? Yeah. Not weak in that you're physically weak, but like I have zero control. I can't do anything.
That was pretty much it, because you don't know what to do in those times except just sit there and watch and hope for the best.
Yeah. What types of things did you and your wife do in that, if you don't mind?
We did pray. It was one of those moments where it was even stronger. You know, the prayer was a little bit more vocal, a little bit more vivid, I guess you could say, and you never know in any instant that something like that could happen, and you know it's in God's hands, and you just have to trust in Him to take it out, you know.
Was that easy in the moment?
To pray, yes.
Yes, it's so difficult, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, seeing her laying on there and crying and covered in like tubes and hoses and stuff like that. It's one of those things that you just can't really prepare yourself for.
I remember my second daughter, Evelyn, was born. And she was born like, I don't know how early, but she was in the NICU for 9 days. And when she came out, she had this thing where she'd lay there just trying to get air, undeveloped lungs. And it was same thing. It was torture. It was torture watching it. You couldn't do anything about it. And I called one of my good friends, and I called him. I just cried. I was like, I've never been that weak, like you said, in my life. And I remember we prayed, all that stuff. We had my friend pray. We were praying, all this stuff. And we had about 6 or 7 days later, we had a visitor. My sister came to visit, right? And you couldn't go too far because she was in this glass box, and she had been in the NICU for 6 days. And she brought this little girl with her whose dad is a minister overseas. And this little girl... Right, I'm like torn apart, weak as could be. Like this is like I can't do anything. This little girl walks in, and she goes, well, we need to pray in Jesus' name. That she's like the most confident in the world, like no fear, no doubt, no weakness. And it was just a mindset. This little 6-year-old girl had a different mindset of strength than I had in the moment. I mean, yes, we were praying and we were going to God, but it was just like it was really cool to see. It was really encouraging. It really challenged me, my faith in that moment. So in this season, in your current season, whatever you're in, you know, you're so many years married, so many kids, whether you're having more or less, doesn't matter what your job, but in your season, what message, I think, what message are you hearing from God about, from God or about leading your family? Because I think as men, if we ever just take a moment and sit and think, or if you're driving in your vehicle, right, God, I think God's talking to us. We hear the same thing over and over and over again. And sometimes that's not just us doubting, or sometimes God's like, yep, you can do that. You can do that. Right? What are you hearing from God? Whether you're 100% got it figured, or you're still working it out, or you're just about to start, what are you hearing from God about leading your family right now?
Not to give up, not to give in, especially to any possible temptation, just to stand firm and just be the godly man that He created you to be.
I guess... Right now, with the 4 young daughters we have, it feels like we're in a season of survival.
Yeah. Yes.
So, it's I've always heard that having kids, the days are long and the years are short, and it's so true. It almost brings me to tears thinking that my oldest daughter is almost 7. It's like how you blink and they're just bigger, and it's really easy to just let time pass by you, right? And you're just getting through each day and not taking the time to enjoy it and taking the time to I guess smell the roses, right? And I guess what I've been feeling lately is I need to be more intentional with my time, with my family, with my daughters individually, and with my wife, because I'm gonna blink and someday they're gonna be moving out. So
I before you go, I heard somebody say it once, I'm going to get the math wrong, but by the time your child is 12 years old, you've spent 75% of the time with them that you're going to spend. And by the time they're 18, it's like 90. And I probably got the numbers a little bit wrong, but it's a crazy number. Because as they get older, you spend less time. They're at sports and school, and it's challenging, but it's also, like you said, it's like, okay, hold on. Then this time is important. So, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Mostly consistency and trust. Right now we're just trying to be consistent with everything that we're doing, but at the end of the day, like, we have to start trusting God and through everything that we're going through. Like, he keeps telling us to be patient in a lot of things and a lot of trials, and it's like, well, it's hard to be patient, but at the end of the day, we have to trust that he has us. He's provided for us throughout all of our life, and we just have to trust him.
Thank you. And thank you all. I appreciate the conversation. I appreciate your insights and the vulnerabilities and transparencies. I think these conversations are really valuable. I want to kind of transition us, and I want to start closing things out. And so you guys can stay here. I'm going to have the men stand up. Men, if you could, and everybody, let's all stand. We're gonna close this up here. And I want to give men a chance to pray, right? But before I do, men, I want to have you come down. You guys can come down too. I want to have all the fathers come down. And I want to just talk to you fathers for just a minute. And then we're going to pray. And ladies, non-fathers, I say this on baby dedications. Dad has a, God, our Father has a message for us. Even if it's, we're talking to men. Come on, men, come gather around. We can get close. It's all good. Come on. You guys can come down. Come on down. Too often we define our value as men on what makes us good or strong. Sorry, we define our value as men, i.e. our value, what makes us good, what makes us strong, on the things defined by this world. It's interesting, if you meet a man on the street or your wife introduces you to another family, you go to the man, you're going to shake his hand, and what's your first question to him going to be? What do you do for a living? Right? Maybe this is, it's almost as men as we define our value and other people's value based on what we do. Right? We try to gauge how strong the other man is. Maybe it's back like in the caveman days. It's like, hey, what do you do? I want to know if I can beat you up. Right? That's like, it's probably like, can my tribe overcome your tribe? And that hasn't stopped. Although now it's like, I'm smarter than you. I make more money than you. I have a better vehicle. I can hunt the biggest deer. What, right? There's this thing, and we're defining our strength by our accomplishments and our positions and our titles or our work ethic. Right? I'm reminded of a song. It was a Billboard number one by Bob Seger. And he says, like a rock, I was strong as I could be, like a rock. Nothing ever got to me, like a rock. I was something to see, like a rock. It was also a commercial. It was a Billboard first, but it was a commercial. This was Bob Seger looking back on his life and saying, all the things that happened to my life, I had to stand firm through them. I had to have this mindset of strength. It wasn't because things were successful and things were bad. My strength was how I faced them. But what about when things aren't going good? What about when there's doubts? What about when there's failures? There's demotions and job loss. There's financial issues. There's relationship problems. There's sicknesses. It's easy in those moments to say, I'm not strong. I've done it. And that might be true. But when you're defining your strength based on these things, your strength will eventually, inevitably not be strong. Like Kirby was saying, Brother Kirby. Like when you're sitting there watching your daughter in the room in a glass box with tubes everywhere. Yeah, you got no strength, brother. None. Our strength isn't men dependent. Fathers, our strength is not dependent on our success. Our strength is not dependent on our position or title. Our strength is not dependent on our heritage, Brother Phil. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I think about Habakkuk. Yes, I'm going to Habakkuk. Habakkuk 3, verse 17. Man, let's read this. I'll read it. You don't got to read it. Though the fig tree does not bud, though there is no fruit in the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though the flocks disappear from the pen and there are no herds in the stalls. He's saying, this is what they did for a living back then, men. They planted things and they raised things and they grew things. And he said, if all of that doesn't matter, if your job fails and you can't keep pigs in the pen and you can't keep the olive trees growing and everything's failing, he says, yet I will celebrate in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. And here it is. the Lord is my strength. It doesn't say he makes things better. It doesn't say your life is going to be different and things are going to be better and that you're not going to go through hard times. It says instead he makes my feet like those of a deer, enables me to walk on mountains heights. It's a mindset, men. It's a mindset change. God is trying to say, I'm your strength. Get with me. Pastor Phil talked about the yoke this morning. Just take my yoke upon you, men. And so the question I have for you this morning, men, fathers, is it our strength or is it his strength? And today is a chance you get to pray. I'm going to ask you all, take a time and just think, like, it's not about what we're bringing to God, right? You're not bringing to God your career. You're not going to end with a bunch of money and say, here you go, God, right? Because when we get to heaven, they say they literally bow down and they're throwing their crowns at his feet. Every good thing they have, they say, I'm throwing this at his feet. Nothing we do in this life like that wise matters. But it says we should lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And so I want to end with this verse, 1 Corinthians 6:13. It says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Be strong. Be strong, man. Be strong, fathers. Be courageous, fathers, because your dad, your father, your heavenly father is behind you. And he's got you. And so as they start to sing, let's just worship, man. I encourage you. I challenge you. Close your eyes. Raise your hands. Talk to God this morning. Talk to him like your father. Maybe your father wasn't a perfect example. Maybe your father was a perfect example, but this is your father. Let's worship him today. Let's talk to our father today. Let's go to him and maybe start over and say, God, I'm going to give my strength to you. Everything I'm trying to do doesn't matter, God. I want to rely on your strength in my life. Praise God. That's right. Let's just talk to our father. You can give him the failures. You can give him the weaknesses.
Darkest night, You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
Praise God. Okay, there we go. Men, let's all gather around. Come on, let's get close. There's 58 of you. Fathers, come on up. Come on up, fathers. If you're a father, come on up. Doesn't matter if your kids are here or not. Come on. We're going to pray for each other today. We're going to pray that God, we're going to pray that God helps our mindset. Let's pray together. God, touch these men. God, touch these fathers. God, you know their hearts. God, wherever they're at in their journey with you, God, they're facing you. They're moving towards you, God. They're wanting to prove. They're wanting to change, God. I pray, Lord, Father, that you would reach down right now, God, and let them feel your love. Let them feel your mercy, God. Let them feel your grace, God. Let them feel how much you care about them, how much you want them to do great things, God. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help our mindsets, God. Help us to have a mindset of strength, God, that comes from following you, God. Let us rely on your strength and not our strength, God. I pray a blessing over these men. God, I pray a change in their hearts and minds today, God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh,
your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. Men, God loves you, your father loves you, and he's with you. And we just honor you this morning. Thank you everybody for being here. We're just super excited for Father's Day. Before you go home and go do all the fun naps or whatever you're gonna go do, men, if you want a steak, find one of the ushers, they'll help you. If you don't know where the kitchen is, they'll help you get one. And work your way out to the left. There's some people handing out donuts. Take your kids with you and get a box of donuts. God bless you, fathers. Have a great day.